Hi, you're listening to Michael's Office Podcast, which shows my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things going on in the entertainment world today. This week, I am by myself, and I am finally back after a long period of deliberation and procrastination, putting things off. I am just going to be off the cuff. I'm just going to talk about things that come to my head. It's going to be as improvised as possible. No structure, no nothing. Just me and this phone. Alright, I hope you guys enjoy. So please, step into my office. And I'm here by myself. I'm going to put this down. It's probably going to be a bit weird once we get into the episode. Like, the beginning is going to be a bit weird. I apologize. But, yeah, I'm by myself. I've been aching to do an episode, and I think this would be the perfect time. It's midnight right now. It's Saturday. Usually I record them the day of, and I release them. But I'm just going to do it, like, literally the day of, like, at midnight. It is 9 minutes into Sunday. So, yeah, I'm just going to talk for a little bit about whatever comes to my head. Things I've been wanting to talk about, and it'll be a good reason to talk about them, you know. Well, that was a weird way to put it. What I'm trying to say is, this podcast really gives me the platform to talk about things I would want to do in, like, a video essay, but don't have the editing capabilities or too lazy to do so, so I'll just put out all my thoughts on the table. I won't, like, list them in an essay or whatever. I'll just talk about it because I feel like I have that capability to do so. So, yeah, I've watched a bunch of movies. My first semester of school is over. I'm about to go into my next one. This is my last day of winter break before I'm going back to school. And it's been a wild ride. There's been a lot of self-doubt and highs and lows. A lot of figuring myself out. Maybe not for the best, but it's been a process so far. I've really, really enjoyed not being on the podcast. I also really miss it. I've missed doing this so much, just airing out my thoughts to the world. Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I love seeing a bunch of listeners, like over 20 people listening. And it sucks when my podcast doesn't get many listeners when it's just by myself. Like, I don't have guests. I don't have people talking. I know that'll bring in, like, listeners, but I also miss the times where I can just be by myself and saying things. And I don't really get that amount of time to express my thoughts on things. Usually I'm expressing my thoughts in reviews, and my reviews now, they aren't really for myself anymore. They aren't really to put my thoughts out there for myself. It has been basically my time and my movie watching has been all mostly gobbled up for what other people want to think of my thoughts of what they want of their favorite movies and the movies they want to recommend to people. And that's my own fault. I could easily just, like, push them off, but I've done that for such a long time, so I thought I'd make up for it by doing that and constantly doing that. But that has also put more people, like, in a position to say, hey, he's just watching people's recommendations right now. I guess he has nothing else to watch, so I'm just going to keep recommending things. I think this would be the perfect time to do so. And I am so tired. I'm really so tired of watching things for other people instead of watching them for myself. It's not fun anymore to write reviews. It's really not. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, like, when I'm really into a film, and I want to talk about it, it's really fun. Like, when I can just focus and keep things going when I'm writing a review, it's really amazing. Like, there are some reviews that I just couldn't wait to write. Like the Spirited Away one where I just kept my focus. Was it Spirited Away or was it something else? I can't remember. Some review where I kept my focus. Got it done pretty quickly, but I just recently wrote my Drive My Car review, and that one took an hour or so because I felt like I had to get the words right. And I don't even think I got the words right then. I don't think I formulated my thoughts well enough. I'll also be talking about Drive My Car a little later, and technically in a review form, but also I'll be talking some other films. That's something I've wanted to talk about for a while. Yeah, it's beginning to have no fun, and I like when I rewatch things, I don't have to log them unless I really want to talk about them. But also, I'm rewatching things now to just provide a little break from reviews. Like I rewatched The Dark Knight Returns, part ones and two. I mean, I could have talked about that, but I didn't. I watched the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman. I could have talked about that. I didn't. I just logged it, and it felt so good to just log things. And even when I write reviews, or I keep telling myself, you know, it doesn't have to be super long. It doesn't have to be super long. It can be like a paragraph or two. And then when I put it out, and it's like short, I'm like, man. I feel really bad because it's disrespectful to them, or like it's not up to the usual quality. It's like you have a reputation to keep, but that reputation's become so tiring for me. It's become really tiring. Like, don't get me wrong, I love getting recommendations, but I also want to watch things I want to watch, you know? And I have formulated a plan to do that. I'm done. Putting it in my stack and prioritizing them. I'm gonna stick to my plan. I'm going to, which is 2021 film, a gang wreck. I'm sorry, not 2021 film, top 100 ultimate collection wreck, gang wreck, which is basically like films that the whole gang chat should watch. Friend recommendation. And then something I want to watch. I think so. I think something I want to watch is the last one. And then start over 2021. And if there's a 2022 release that I want to watch, I'll put it in there. But as of right now, it's just that. It's just repeating that over and over again. And I think after I watch these films, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna put that in the process. I'm gonna do it. Oh wait, I forgot. I know what the other one is. The last one is my physical stack. Like it's the ones, the DVDs that I bought. I'm putting it in there. I'm gonna put that. That'll be the last one, and then it'll be repeating over and over again. And if I want to take a break, I'm just gonna watch something and not worry about logging it. Like before I start this process, I'm gonna watch Tenet, and I'm not gonna. Unless I want to say something, I'm just going to lock it as a rewatch and see how my rating is impacted upon that rewatch. Yeah. That's how I'm feeling right now about watching films and reviews. But it's also really nice sometimes if you are doing it for other people, it is nice to get some type of feedback. And talking about it, that kind of pushes me to do them. But I am also I'm sick of prioritizing other people before me. I'm so glad that I did this so I can get all the recommendations out of the way. That is a positive from this experience, is I've gotten all these recommendations from people and I've been putting them off, and I finally took care of them. I finally watched the things that people wanted me to watch. And I think because of this, I could see this as a benefit for the social media part of it, is getting more followers. It's like, oh shoot, this guy, he actually watches the things You recommend him, and fairly quickly. That means he's gonna watch my recommendation pretty quickly. Which I think that'll provide some encouragement and provide more, like reasons to follow me. As if I don't have enough followers, I have like 460, which is great. That's really good. I mean, I can always do better. I'm always. I don't. I'm always gonna get followers, and it's fine. So, other than that, I have been watching a great amount of films. I will say, buying my own films, like Criterion DVDs, is really addicting. I don't know why it's addicting. It's weird. I don't know why. Is it because of the covers? I mean, the covers are really nice, but it's also just like it's that satisf I think it's the satisfaction of you physically being able to watch this movie again without having to worry about where is it streaming, is it rentable? I don't have to worry about paying to rent it anymore. I can just watch it. I can just watch it whenever I want. And there's a great amount of set. But if it's a Criterion, you get that really neat cover. But also, for me, I don't really have a collection of my own DVDs. At least I don't think so. I mean, I could go and look, but I don't really. No, I don't know for sure that I have a collection of my own DVDs, and it's that satisfaction of building your own collection. There's this whole debate about the. I mean, there's this whole thing about keep your physical copies because then they'll become a commodity, or they're becoming rare and rare as more companies are focusing on going to digital. I mean, I don't have to worry about that. That's not what I'm the reason I'm doing it. It's just nice to have a digital copy of my favorite movies. And right now, also the covers are a big bonus too, but that's a reason why. You know, it's also neat to have a structure sometimes, because then you're just kind of having dead air sometimes. Because I don't want to go into the thing I want to talk about. I mean, that could put up a bunch of time, but I don't want to go into that yet, you know? But also, I mean, having structures, again, it's a big positive because then you know when you can go into it, but you don't have like a certain time thing, like, okay, you got to talk about this for 5 minutes. It's just like, it's nice to have a structure. I know, like I said, I'm not going to have a structure, I'm just going to wing it. But you can obviously tell that I'm winging it right now. You can obviously tell. You know what I've noticed about myself? I know this is about everything in the entertainment world, but this has kind of also been a place for me to vent, which I really like. I talk about things in the entertainment world, in the entertainment industry. But also, I'll just talk about things I want to get off my chest. It is like a place to vent. I've been playing video games recently, and it's really been distracting from what I want to do. Like, I wanted to apply to more scholarships, and I wanted to apply to internships. I mean, I could do that tomorrow. I mean, today. I could do that today. I can apply to some internships today. I want to do this, I want to do that. Well, I didn't. And my schooling suffered because I played video games. Really did. It suffered because I was like, okay, I'm gonna play this amount of games today. And I didn't make time for homework. And doing other things and practicing and watching movies. That's genuinely a big reason. Honestly, that is a reason why I didn't watch as many movies as I did last semester. I mean, I was in a musical that was really tough and basically burned me out for that semester. It did. It burned me out. Honestly, it burned me out. It might have burned me out for the rest of this year. I don't know. But because it was a lot. It was so much. But it really disrupted everything for me. And I'm thinking about, like, I'm just debating with myself. I have a couple hours left to finish up this debate with myself and give myself an answer. Whether it is pro, bring Xbox to MoBap, or leave it at home. And the pros of bringing it there is the video games, obviously, to relax, and also it's a better sound quality. It becomes a lot clearer when I do, like, watch videos or watch a movie or watch something on streaming. It becomes a lot clearer, or not clearer, louder. It's louder. But the cons are also the video games. And also, it becomes a distraction. It becomes a time consumer instead of a solely a relaxer, a de-stressor. I mean, it is that. It is a de-stressor, but it's also a time consumer. And that's what video games are. Generally speaking, they're time-consuming hobbies. I mean, it's great to immerse myself in these worlds and forget about everything. But movies, TV shows, I mean, TV shows, if you choose a TV show, you're investing a lot of time because you got episodes, but you can take that in little chunks, like, watch one episode today, and then work on homework and stuff if you're a student. Or watch one movie. It could be an hour and a half movie, and or more, but then you don't have to worry about it. But I'm not normal people. I gotta write a review right after that. I have to write a review. I mean, I could also let things sink. Let things sink in. That's what I should have said. Not let things sink. Let things sink in. But, yeah, video games are just a big distraction. And, but I will say, I thought I'm probably going to play one game of League before I go. Same thing. I might play a game of the Isle, too. Might play that before I go. Because that's what I thought I was going to do before I left. Or before I came back to MoBap. And I'm probably going to do that. I'm probably going to play, like, a couple games. I'm going to play as in League of Legends. I'm going to play as Warwick. And then maybe somebody else. I don't know. Like, another character. I don't know who I'm going to play as, though. I just got to see who I have. Warwick and then somebody else. And then for Isle, I'm gonna just go around as my Allosaurus. I'm gonna have to get down from that stupid mountain I'm on. Yes, and the Isle is a dinosaur game. Leave me alone. Let me embrace my inner child of being a dinosaur and eating things and attacking things and hunting as a pack. I mean, pack hunting's great. It really is. There's a sense of camaraderie, and there's so much satisfaction hunting together and finding something to attack. Sorry, that's probably really dorky to some people, but leave me be, you know? Let me fantasize. Let me be these things. Yeah. That's what I might do today. Or I might play some Arkham Knight. I need to finish Split Second. I'm just gonna finish Split Second tomorrow. That's what I'm gonna do. I could bring it. I probably shouldn't, but I could. I probably will. I've answered it. I'm gonna bring it. I'm gonna finish Split Second. I also need to start 12 hours or something. 12 days. I think it's like 12 minutes or something. It's 12 minutes. I need to start that. so we can get rid of it. It's got Daisy Ridley, James McAvoy, and Willem Dafoe. Seen, I heard crazy things. I haven't gotten anything spoiled for me. Thank the Lord, I thought I would, but I haven't. I'm excited to play that game and be a part of it and hear Daisy Ridley's voice. I'm excited to hear her American voice. Yeah, it's got a stack cast. Anyway, should I talk about movies? That's the question, isn't it? Should I talk about movies? That's generally what I talk about on here. It feels like it's... Sometimes this feels like it's become a movie review podcast. Like, because I have to fill time, you know? I have to fill time. It has to be an hour of me talking. It can't be, like, 30 minutes or so. It has to be an hour. Yeah, this has really turned into venting instead of ranting and rambling instead of a fully-fledged podcast with my own thoughts. But I think this is beneficial. You guys are just listening to it. I apologize. This is how it's become. But I feel like Michael's office is just a place for me to rant and ramble. I've said this so many times. But the reason why I call Michael's office is not because it's Gross Origins, well, that's too. But I also feel like it's office talk. And in office talk, it's as natural as possible. That's why I get as personal as possible when I bring a guest down. I want it to sound as natural as possible, like you're talking in an office. It's a personal space. It's personal. It's real. It's unfiltered. It's unscripted. It's genuine. I know that that's like the thing, but that's the purpose of it. It is just to be people, to be them and talk like they're in an office space, or talk like they're in a personal space where nobody's listening to them, and it's a personal conversation. It's just a hangout conversation. It's a hangout. This is what this is. It's a hangout. And I am hanging out by myself. But it's beneficial because I'm finally letting all these thoughts out. I'm finally letting all these car talks that are by myself, these bathroom talks by myself. I mean, I don't have bathroom talks anymore, sadly. But mostly car talks. These car talks and the walks that I go on by myself thinking or talking out loud with my mask on or talking out loud by myself when nobody's around. You know, I finally have... That's the reason. That is going back to the origins. This is the reason as to why... I mean, I haven't mentioned the origins, but I brought them up anyway. I'm sounding contradictory, and I'm... Again, it sounds like I'm rambling, but this, the purpose of this whole entire thing is just to let myself vent and talk. And I feel like this is the best way to express myself without having the pressure of somebody looking at me weird and having the fear of judging me. I mean, I shouldn't care about what other people think. But man, it's hard when you're so conditioned to it. I know this is, again, rambling, because I'm jumping from thought to thought. But, again, it's nice just to be here, having no one to judge me. You're probably judging me right now. I don't care. There's no physical presence of somebody judging. It is just myself. Me, myself, and I being the judge of what I say and what I do, how I look. Now, you guys can't see how I look. You probably don't even... If you don't know me personally, you probably don't even know how I look. But that's really great. So you can just have to judge me and imagine me. Imagine my face, what I look like, because of my voice. And I've been told that my face doesn't really go with my voice because it's a lot more gentle than people expect. Which I take as a compliment, in a way. Yeah, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to talk about the thing I want to talk about, the movies. And then I'll talk about the movies I want to talk about and some news that I've heard about. Actually, first, let's get into the news. So, apparently there are some rumors about The Flash erasing everything, basically erasing the Snyderverse. There are rumors of that's going on. And there's debate between the Snyder cultists and the DC fans and casual movie fans. I don't think casual movie fans care about this. But I think it is a thing to talk about. Am I on the Snyder cultist side? Yes. Am I on the opposite side? I mean, a little bit. More on the Snyder cultist side, but I'm not, like, crazy about it. I see what both sides are on about. So, the negative, which is what the Snyder cultists are about, the Super Snyder fans, they're upset because of all Snyder's work will be gone forever. We won't have Henry Cavill's Superman. We won't have Ben Affleck's Batman. We won't have that anymore. They'll be gone. We're going to pretend that they never happened. Their continuity is going to be erased from existence. We'll still have Man of Steel. We'll still have Batman v Superman. We'll still have Zack Snyder's Justice League. But they won't be considered canon anymore. And that sucks. I'm one of those fans of those characters, and the story that Snyder had planned for them sounds really amazing. And I personally think could have rivaled them MCU, because then it was gonna take its time. After that. And things seem promising. I mean, Zack Snyder's Justice League, I think, is one of the most important superhero movies ever. I mean, to me, anyway. Because it really revitalized my love for the genre, my interest in the subgenre. Because I was starting to get superhero fatigue. I wasn't caring about the Marvel projects anymore. I mean, I still kind of don't. Even though Hawkeye is my favorite Avenger, I haven't seen a show. I should see a show. I haven't taken the time to watch it. I haven't seen Eternals either, because I don't have a car. But that's the only reason why I haven't seen Eternals. I was also waiting on my mom to say, "Hey, you want to go see Eternals?" And she never said that, so. But I would say Zack Snyder's Justice League is one of the most important pieces of superhero film to me, ever. It showed the world what Zack Snyder's vision of where these characters were going, what he wanted them to be. And I really liked the journey they were going on. I really liked how Batman's arc of being redeemed and Superman becoming the Superman we know today, we know now. Like, that was Superman. That was my Superman in Zack Snyder's Justice League. That was my Superman. And Batman finally started becoming, we could see Batman was changed because of what Superman did and Batman v Superman, and we started to see that he was becoming redeemed. He wasn't when he. I'm pretty sure he faced a couple human foes. When he was facing human foes in Zack Snyder's Justice League, he didn't kill them anymore. He learned. He was learning. He was growing because of what Superman did. And I would love to see, again, based on Snyder's plan, it sounded awesome the way he was taking these characters. And now that all that hard work is going to be erased, and that means the Snyderverse is not happening. Which, I mean, being realistic, it was never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Just being realistic here, they're done. Unless Discovery is like, hey, you know what, we're going to fund some HBO Max projects. We're going to fund some HBO Max projects and put them there. And we're going to put them on all the platforms for people to see and see how they do. You know, just let it continue on HBO Max. I mean, Ben Affleck's done with Batman. He's done with IP-related projects. He's done. Which, again, makes me sad, which means we're not going to get more of his Batman. I think that's a big reason. I think Warner Brothers is a big reason why. As to why he's done. He's done doing it. Be good for him, but also sad. And then the positive is that if we're not going to get any more, it means that Warner Brothers is fully committed to hitting a reset. It's fully committed. They don't have to worry about those things. It's just saying, hey, we're focused on this thing. We know what we want. And if that's what audiences want, they're going to do that. But then again, it's just... the reason why the DCEU is working critically is because they all feel different. Say what you want about Marvel, but they feel generally the same. Generally speaking, they feel the same. The DCEU feels different. Like, there is definitely an attempt to be different. Like, each of them have a very distinct style and tone, and I mean, they're all doing the jokey-jokey thing that Marvel was doing. But, they're different. They feel different from one another. Like, Aquaman doesn't feel like the Suicide Squad or Birds of Prey. And Shazam doesn't feel like... Wonder Woman 1984, you know? They all feel different. Whether they're quality films or not, that's up to you. They feel different. I mean, I'm glad they're going with that, but man, the suits are not looking good. It sucks for me. I'm not a huge fan of this decision because it just... it's the final FU to Zack Snyder, if they're doing that, if they're sticking with that. It's the final FU to the world that he's built. And say what you want about the films. They made money, not the billion-dollar club films that WB's wanted, but they made money. They did. They made money. It really sucks that if this is true, I hope that they can tastefully provide a rest to it. I'll be still going to see their movies because it's DC, and I want to see where this new extended universe goes. Even though they're not really sticking to the EU part, because they're not casting people from the TV. And the CW and stuff, they're just letting things be, letting them exist. It's fine. It's whatever. Sorry if I'm yawning, it's late. Yeah, that's my input. It's my input on the whole situation. I hope you guys are still listening. I mean, you could also make the argument that, like, for the positive, like, for this, is that, yeah, we'll still have the things. We'll still have Zack Snyder's Justice League because it exists. It's not going away. That's the same thing with the remake argument, that they want to remake, like, Princess Bride. Like, if it's not damaging the other stuff. Like, if you're making a remake, it's not damaging, like, he has a car, it's not damaging that nice old car. It's just a new one. And whether it sucks, it sucks. But, you know, I just wish, if that, it's, there's an old film, or a movie, like, that's older than 2010, or something. A movie that had a great concept. Great concept. But was squandered by its direction or screenplay or its performances or something. Was squandered by its execution. Just remake that. Don't say, oh shoot, we're just gonna ignore it. We're not gonna try that again. Despite it having a great concept, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna remake it. Because that movie failed because it didn't make money. That concept failed. Even though it was a great concept, we're not gonna try to invest in that again. No. Do that. I mean, I can't name any films off the top of my head that had a great concept, but a sucky execution. I mean, I can't name one. Assassin's Creed. But do Assassin's Creed 2 and then fix everything. Fix everything that was wrong with it. Set it almost all of it in the past. All of it in the past. With another character that looks like Michael Fassbender. Create a new character for Michael Fassbender. And do that. Not a new character. They keep the same character that they had in the present day, but, you know, like, create a new assassin for him. And stick with that. And then stick at the past. And also let Justin Creazel shoot action. Just let him do it. And let it be R. That would be... That's just one example. But, you know. Just... Whatever happens, happens. And I hope they do it well. You know, I have a question. Why do... I don't get why people who watch things in dub... Like, animes in dub... I don't know why... I mean, in sub... I don't know why they don't watch foreign films. I don't know why they don't watch foreign movies. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they do. I don't know. You know, this is another thing that was brought up, and I want to talk about it again. I've talked about this before on a previous podcast. I don't know when. I don't know when, but I want to talk about it again. I want to talk about it again. People keep talking about how they want original films. They want original movies in theaters. And yes, we have the most original movies ever to be released. Ever. In theaters, on streaming. People do not go to see them. They don't. They don't go to see original stuff anymore. They don't. Why? Because it doesn't make money. It doesn't make money. If you are complaining about why don't we get original things, but then you go to the newest Marvel movie or the newest sequel... I'm not saying I'm innocent of this. I go to them too. But if you only go to that instead of risking it on an original movie, you are being a hypocrite. You are. You the as much as I found Matrix Resurrections indulgent, that's what it was talking about. As much as I found it annoying, that's what it was talking about. So go ahead, please, please, please watch original movies. Find them. Pay attention to what goes on the award season. Like, oh, that's that. I'll go watch it. Whatever looks like what they think looks like a contender, go watch it, please. You could also look at the top 10, the best picture lineup. More than likely, those are original films, except for one, West Side Story. But those are original films. Well, they're based on either based on a book. Yeah, they may be based on a book, like Power of the Dog, but at least they're original in some way. Watch them. Watch them. Just watch them, because they are probably super different from what you're used to watching. Just do it. Just do it. Speaking of Oscars, I'm just gonna go into, right into it now. There are four films that came out this year. I'm gonna say when they come out, in order. Pieces of a Woman, Mass, Pig, and Drive My Car. They all shared one thing in common. They all dealt with the themes of grief. I haven't really grieved. I haven't really grieved. I mean, I've grieved for myself, I believe. I've grieved for myself a couple times. And I know I've grieved for myself twice. Once was because I was moving back to Hillsboro, which was actually a really fantastic choice. I was moving back to Hillsboro. And I was grieving because I'm like, it was happening again. We were moving to a different school. We were moving back home to our old school, which I had a bad experience. I did not have the best experience in kindergarten. I was not a good kid. I thought I was a good kid. I was not a good kid. Because of that experience. And I made some dumb decisions. But, yeah, I grieved myself. I grieved over the fact that I'm not going to see my friends again. I'm going to leave those them for the final time. I'm moving to a different school. And I think it would have been for the best because that high school department is crap. And it also led to me visiting my future college, the place that I was going to. It also led to well, I don't think I would have gone to JeffCo. I would have gone to JeffCo, done theater there. Actually, no, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't even done theater. I would have been a pro wrestler. I would have been a pro wrestler if I stayed at Jefferson or something in my previous school. But and then I grieved over something traumatic that happened to me. But I haven't really dealt with the loss of a loved one, because all my family members have been really healthy. But I will soon, and then I'll have to deal with it then, and I'm scared. But as of right now, they've all these films have dealt with the theme of grief in different ways. First one, Pieces of a Woman. Technically came out in 2020 at Venice, in which Vanessa Kirby won the Volpe, which is like the Best Actress award. The Volpe Cup, to be exact. And Pieces of a Woman deals with the mother of a basically, not a stillborn, of a infant that dies as soon as it's birthed, as soon as it's born, because it was because of home birth that went wrong, and she's basically grieving over that. She held the baby in her hands for like a little bit, and then it died in her arms, which really sucks. That's at the beginning of the movie.
So, not really a spoiler. It's in the trailer, too, that it's about a home birth that goes wrong. So, not really a spoiler. And then there's Mass, which came at Sundance of this year. I mean, the reason why I was saying this year, Place of the Woman, even though it came out last year, it came out on Netflix in early January. So, you know, Netflix original. And then Mass came out at Sundance to lauded reviews. Lauded reviews. And it is basically like a play adaptation, but it's not based on a play. It is, majority of the time, it is basically these four parents stuck in a room. They're not stuck in a room. They choose to be in this room to talk it out. Basically grieving over their sons. One who was killed in a mass shooting and the other one being a mass shooter. And they're grieving over that. And then there's Pig, which deals with Nicolas Cage, who is dealing with the loss of his pig. Because he loses it. I mean, spoilers for Pig. He does lose, it's in the trailer, he loses the pig. That's all I will say. He loses the pig. But when I get into it, there's going to be spoilers about Pig. So, just to let you know, because then that's how I can talk about it. And then, this one doesn't have spoilers, it's in the synopsis, and I saw Drive My Car 2 days ago. Well, 3 days ago now. No, 2 days ago. 2 days ago. And that is about, it's about this stage actor and director. This is also in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler. I will get into spoilers for other films. No. Films that I mentioned, I will get into spoilers. So you've been warned. I highly recommend watching all of these. They're great. And he has to deal with the loss of his wife. And he's grieving through that. So those films all deal with grief. And I want to talk about them. How each of them deal with them in their own ways. And I think, I'm not going to rank them. I was thinking about which one does deal with it better, but everyone deals with grief in their own way. So I can't really say this one deals with it more realistically than the other. It's just, I'm just going to talk about why I loved each of them and why I love their portrayal of that state of being. Grief is a state of being. First up, we have Pieces of a Woman. Pieces of a Woman is similar to Drive My Car, which I'll get into later. Pieces of a Woman has a lot of problems, but Vanessa Kirby's performance is not one of them, and that's a big reason to why it's, I love the movie. The way she deals with grief, she's angry, for the most part, she's very reserved and closed off from the world. She's basically trying to hide her emotions as much as possible. We don't really get many moments with her, even though it's about her. She's very much usually in a public setting with someone by her side, like her husband by her side, or with a group of people. We hardly ever get moments where she's by herself, and we see how she's dealing with these feelings. But for the most part, she's holding everything in. She's very closed off, and she's angry, and she is anxious. She's struggling with a lot of things. She's struggling to keep things in. I mean, just based on her um, I guess explosions would be the best word. Explosions would be the best word. The way she explodes on people. And, but we finally do get a point where she does get through it and she does move on, and that's when she finally sees a picture of her baby in a really, really moving scene. I think that's the finally, like, okay. Which convinced me I thought she was the best performance of the 2020-2021 season. It's through those points where we finally get where everything has finally come to fruition and everything makes sense in the journey that we got to this point is worth it. And also, I mean, it works. The film also reflects her state of being. It's slow. Nothing feels like it's happening. Everything is like is mundane. Not mundane. It's like gray and dull, despite the cinematography being beautiful. It lulls over itself, and that's what I feel like her grief is. I think that's a perfect examination of the way she's going through it, and it's in her mind, and I think that's really excellent. And next we have Mass. This one's a bit more overt in its processing of grief. If it's more of a play in that way. It's a lot more theatrical, but I think it works, and that's why it feels so cathartic. And it's definitely arguably the hardest to watch out of all of them, because they're just expressing all their feelings through their words. They're not holding anything back, generally speaking. Basically, everything is building and building up to a point where they can't hold it back anymore. They have to say something, and they say something, and they're very emotional about it. They're very emotional. They're all very emotional about it. These four parents are all dealing with it in some way, shape, or form. Like, Ann Dowd's character is really empathetic and kind and compassionate, and that's also to her own detriment. Martha Plimpton's character is interrogative? Whatever the word is, like she's all about interrogating, and she's all about investigating and understanding. And Jason Isaacs' character, who was Draco Malfoy, he's very angry. He is angry. He is bitter. He is rageful. He's a lot. He's that. And then there's Reed Birney, who's the most unlikable, but he's precise, and he is not precise. Precise is a bad word. He is so organized and so specific about what he wants, about how he wants to go about things, and that's how they're all coping with this tragedy of losing their children. Well, they also the Ann Dowd's and Bree Burney's son is dead. Yeah, but the way they go about it, they're very open about the trauma they've gone through and the tragedy they've gone through, and it's very apparent that grief is not a monthly or yearly process. It is a process that it is a continuous process, and it is not one you can contain. It is one you have to confront. You have to meet face to face, and it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. That's what makes it very apparent. It's gonna hurt. It is okay to let it out. It is okay to talk about it. That is the whole point of Mass. That's what Mass looks to do. And then there's Pig, which is the most unique compared to all of them. Andromeda cards are also really unique. But Pig is... about escaping the world. Is using your grief to isolate yourself from others. And then funneling that grief through something like a pet. Or a pig in this instance, to remember the person. But sure, it again, it's a continuous process. You may move on. And sometimes you don't. You don't move on. And you're stuck there. You are stuck there. For but in time, you'll come to this relatory statement. You come to this relatory moment. And you'll know it's time to move on and remember those who you lost. And then we finally have Drive My Car. Drive My Car is, again, it's similar to all of these, like how it's a journey. It is a journey. It is a very introspective journey of how we react to it. But also how we connect to other people. Because someone that we least expect may be going through the same heartbreaking experience that we are. The same despair that covers us. They may be feeling it. And they may be feeling it all our lives. We may never be healed. We know when we have somebody who understands us, and we understand them, everything can get better. And through that, we are connected. And the way we funnel that connection and the way we distract ourselves from that pain and way we hope to move on is through stories. Like acting in a play, or writing a screenplay, or something. We use these avenues to get rid of it. And it may worsen for us, depending on what story we tell. But eventually, when we do find somebody and find that story for us, we can heal. And that's what all these films do. They all... I mean, Pig is less so, but all these films, the characters usually heal. In Pieces of a Woman, it's about forgiving the one that caused this grief and hurt. It's about forgiveness, not only those who you thought you were on your side, like her mother, but forgiving the one that caused you this pain. In Mass, it is again, it comes to it's forgiveness
of those who you believe caused this pain and made everything worse for you, and that becomes cathartic. It becomes a very cathartic thing to forgive. Then in Pig, it is acceptance that they're gone. And it is to remember the impact they've had on you and what you've done. And in Drive My Car, it is to keep on living. Remember what they've done. And give in to your emotions. It's okay to feel that hurt and feel that pain. It's okay. Only through that can you heal, accept, and move on. You know, I thought I was going to go into a more spoiler thing I was preparing you guys for, but that never happened. Maybe it did, and I didn't notice it because I was so focused in on the moment. But, these are really beautiful films. I mean, my least favorite of these is Pieces of a Woman. But, I still recommend that you guys check them out as soon as possible, whenever you can. So, yeah. I think that's about everything, and I'm... That's about everything. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Next week's episode is going to be a group episode where we talk about our top films of 2021. I'm excited because I'm going to bring some people back and bring some new people. It's going to be chaotic. I don't care. I'm going to edit it. Hopefully it'll be quicker than last time. And it's going to be a great time. But also, before that, I'm also going to record another episode. This one's going to have more structure, but it'll also be by myself. Because I want to talk about things more, and I want to make up for lost time. All right. Thank you.